Hello and welcome to Simply Reds. So when we first started this endeavor, we said we're going to release episodes weekly, but we're just too damn lazy. So now we'll be releasing episodes at the end of the month. On to the show. Let's introduce everybody before we start the discussion segment. So if this was a hospital, then I would be the senior doctor, making sure everything runs smoothly. I'm also joined by Mujtaba, who would be our junior doctor, I would say, providing good quality expertise. And of course, we're joined by Mitt, who would be none other than the equivalent of a nurse clearing up the bedpans or something along those lines. Mitt, it could have been worse. I could have said you could have been the resident gynecologist, but we'll leave it at that. So what we're going to cover on this week's show, we'll be starting off with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's blistering start as interim manager. What's he done to change things? Is he a contender for the permanent job? We'll also pick out our surprise star performers. All that and much more. Before we crack on with the show, a couple of methods to get in touch with us. So visit us at simplyreds.co.uk and also check us out on Twitter at simply_reds. So the news. When Ole took over as temporary manager, we were about 11 points, I believe, off fourth. Ole's orchestrated 7 wins on the trot, which leaves him as the first Manchester United manager to win his first 6 league games in charge. He's tied with the best starting record of any Premier League manager, on par with the likes of Pep. More importantly, United are 3 points away from fourth. He's also brought a swagger, that attacking style, back to our play. And of course, he's brought back hope. And it's almost as if there's light at the end of a tunnel after a period where United fans were considering, is there something fundamentally wrong with the club? And we're starting to question everything about the club. So moving into the discussion segment, some fans were even arguing that even Jose could have got those last 6 wins in the Premier League, or potentially could have even got 6 victories out of the 7 games. Has Ole done something special, or could have anybody done the same?
I was just looking at some stats from 2016 when he started. And just going back to the respective fixtures anyway, yes, he could have, potentially, but based on last season, I think we lost to Newcastle 1-0 at home. We've drawn against Bournemouth 1-1. They were easy fixtures and probably the United structure probably bought Ole in place because of the easy run. I don't know, I think it's all down to the positivity of the squad as well. I think that plays a massive factor in the recent run as well. I personally don't think we would have done it just based on our previous results, but you know, it's obviously very good. You know, Jose won the first 3 games as well. Everyone thought we were going to win the league, and then I think we lost to Man City, and then I think we lost the week after to Watford. And in that season, I think we won 7 on the trot as well. I think over the Christmas period, which you know we don't do too well. Going back to Van Gaal, but. It's not been too bad, actually. I've enjoyed it.
So you reckon, I agree with you on paper. A manager of Jose's caliber should be able to deliver at least 6 out of the 7 wins that Ole has. However, maybe not in the manner that he has. But I'll hold back on my opinion. Mudge, what do you reckon? Could any manager do the same? Is it just the case that, you know, the easy run of fixtures... Jose could have done the same. Any interim boss could have done the same with this wealth of talent that we've got in the squad.
I can only speak for, you know, saying could Jose have done the same? And no, he couldn't have. It was evident that a change was needed. And given the way we started the season, it was only going to be the same. I just could not have seen it gone from that bad to where it is now to say that, you know, Jose would have won these games. He wouldn't have. I'm sorry, he wouldn't have. If he would have won a few, potentially, but it would have been painful to watch. I don't think so. And could it have been any other manager? I don't know. I mean, we'll potentially talk about this a bit later on, or what Ole has done. But because of what Ole's, his sort of, he likes to keep that DNA of Manchester United. Some of the staff he's brought in as well has made a major impact, in my opinion. So I think he's done a fantastic job. So no, I don't think Jose would have done the same. I think it would have been the same old shit we were used to seeing at the start of the season.
If you look at the respective fixtures this year, we lost to Spurs 3-0 at home. We lost to Brighton 3-1, albeit it was away. I think, you know, Bournemouth we just won in the 94th minute. So these are all fixtures that obviously Ollie's now won. So, you know, just going back, even if when you go back to sort of August, so not many months ago, we weren't winning the same fixtures.
Mm.
So, you know, it's that's probably the main reason why I think that we would have still struggled. And even if we did win, the kind of football we would have played, it might have just been a 1-0 or, you know, 85th minute winner from lumping the ball up to Fellaini. You know, it's just one of those things.
Just don't.
We don't talk about Fellaini here, but yeah.
Not anymore. No, I completely agree with you guys. I think, Mitt, you started off with mentioning the fact that on paper, yes, absolutely, Jose should be the type of manager that should be winning these games. As I said, at least 6 of the 7 last fixtures. But I think what really impresses me about the way that Ollie's done it is the mannerism, the style with which we've done it for the vast majority of those games. We've not just won them, but we've won them quite comfortably. You know, players are starting to express themselves and all the rest of it. And, you know, bags of gold. I mean, when was the last time we saw a 4-1 or a 5-1 victory? So it's the manner within which he's done it. I agree with you, Mitt. I think if it was under Jose's tenure, I don't think we would have even won, seven of those games. And even if we did, we would have ground out. So those proponents who come out and say that, you know, any manager could have done it, they were easy fixtures. Under Jose, I firmly believe that if we won all of those games, and that's a big if, we would have ground out those results as you spoke about. Right, okay, let's move on to the next discussion point. Big one now, really diving into your kind of expertise in football. Gentlemen, what specifically has Ollie done to turn things around in your opinion? You know, that could be from a mental perspective, that could be something on or off the pitch, or it could be a specific tactic that you want to hone in on. Over to you.
I think one of the biggest sort of things I like what Ollie has done right now is he already has a best 11, which Jose never seemed to have achieved in 3 years, and I never really got that. I was always waiting for Jose to say, okay, this area needs addressing, but this is my best 11, and this is the 11 I'm going to play week in, week out. Okay. And he never, ever seemed to do that. And I was so frustrated. And Ollie's already done that. Okay. We don't agree with it, one or two, but he's thought, you know what? Given the players that I've got, this is my best 11. I'm going to play this 11 every single game. And it just brings continuity, harmony within the squad as well. Everybody knows their role. It's fantastic at the moment. Even the players coming off the bench, it looks like they know the sort of role that they've got to play. So I think that's really working. And another thing to note as well, it seems like Ole was a regular Twitter user during the first 5 months of the season. And it seems like he read and he heard the fans' frustration. He's applied exactly what the fans wanted, you know, like things like Rashford playing up front and the wingers, you know, buccaneering forward, Herrera back in the squad, Matic is playing well. One of the great things I love as well is he's bought Mike Phelan, which I think is a major coup. He knows United inside out. And Fergie famously said as well during his last few seasons, you know, Phelan basically took over. And it looks like Ollie really wants to bring that DNA back into the club, the Fergie way of doing things.
Mm.
And he has done that so far. You know, he keeps talking about tradition. He's brought Phelan back in, and it looks like, you know, on the pitch, he's playing with that Fergie style of football, which is just attack, attack, attack. It's looking good so far. Time will tell, but so far, he's ticking every single box. Now, I don't know what to say, like, is this going to carry on? I really don't know, because we played 7 games and we've won all 7. Until something goes wrong. Potentially we saw a bit of that on the weekend, where on the second half we were shit. It's a bit like Jose-esque performance. But yeah, so far so good. I mean, it's been fantastic. So yeah, let's keep it going.
Yeah, sometimes I think the best teams grind out those results. I don't think it's going to be all smooth sailing for every single fixture. Okay, so anything from yourself in terms of touching upon something special that Ollie's done to turn things around? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. He's a fan, isn't he? He's not really a coach as such. He's, you know, you saw what he posted, you know, before he became the interim manager. He posted that, you know, the Rashford shirt on his telly, and you know, you can see that he's obviously brought Phelan in, obviously, because he knows the whole philosophy behind, like Mudge mentioned, the attacking football. So, you know, straight away, you know, I've seen so many of the players just come out on the Man United website and just general papers saying that, you know, Ollie's brought the positivity back. I think a lot of the players were depressed. They didn't believe in the manager. So effectively, they downed their tools. As soon as someone new came in, you know, Jesse Lingard came out, I think, the other day, just saying that he's brought so much positivity into the club, and also his man management skills as well. And with the attacking players, especially with Ole being obviously an attacking player, you know, he's taught them exactly what he knows as well. And you can see it in Rashford's finishing as well. You know, his composed finish, you know, against Newcastle and more recently as well. So I think it's just the whole, you know, sort of having a new manager knows the club as well, knows what it is from a fan's perspective as well. And I think that's just carried on onto the players as well. And obviously it helps when you've got Luke Shaw and whoever we've got on the right-hand side, you know, past the halfway line, we've got more options going forward as well.
Yeah.
So that helps massively, you know. And he's come out and said, you know, we're Manchester United, people should be fearing us. Why do we care about the opposition so much? We should be caring about how we should be playing and playing for the shirt. So, yeah, I think that's probably the main things.
I think a couple of things that I picked up on was I love the fact that Ollie and his coaching staff, just as he said, they're like fans. Every time United score on the pitch, I want to see the camera going to them to see what they're doing. They're absolutely loving every goal that goes in. It's beautiful to see. It's the little things as well. I mean, it's that professionalism. It's, you know, you talk about the United culture, the United way. It's the little things you can see that are results of that, really. You can see these guys are bringing that back in. I mean, you look at going away to away games, the guys are back wearing the Manchester United suits, no longer donning trackies and Beats headphones and all the rest of it. A sense of professionalism, harkening back to Ferguson's era. Really good to see. I mean, in terms of what's going on the pitch, you can see Ollie's picking players to suit the United style of play. He knows what that means for him. It means, you know, as you said, players bombing forward, attack is the best form of defence, quick, fast, counter-attacking play. And he's picking those players which he thinks matches that. Maybe, you could argue, he's got nothing to lose. You know, he's come in as interim boss. He's not, you know, expected to win the title. He was hardly expected to win, you know, get a Champions League spot. So he's got absolutely nothing to lose. You could argue that. Anyway, let's move on. Given what's going on, given his blistering start, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a contender for the job permanently? Mitt?
If he wins the Champions League, yeah. No, I'm kidding.
drop the mic. Drop the mic.
I don't know. I think when he came in as an interim manager, no one really saw him as a permanent manager. Everyone saw that he might come in and win a few games, maybe have a little run in the Champions League, but no one was expecting much. Now that he's won, you know, 7 games on the trot, people are starting to consider him and, you know, taking him more serious. I personally don't think that they'll keep him. I think it's just a waiting game for Pochettino, but I mean, it's difficult to say. I think I'd give it maybe another 2 months or so, see how we're doing in the Champions League, see if we get fourth, and then maybe they might consider him, but I don't know. I'm a little bit on the fence at the moment. I just want to wait for a few months, see what happens, and then, you know, the main man is probably Pochettino for me.
Okay, let's get Munchabar's view on is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a contender for the permanent job?
Oh, definitely. I think most definitely he is now. This is really a really difficult one. I mean, I'm losing sleep over this every single night thinking about.
I'm surprised that you're even giving me this response, given the fact last time we spoke, you were dead. Your heart was set on Pochettino, and now Ollie's stirred things up.
Exactly, yeah, 100%. Yeah, the funny thing is, with every game, and obviously we're winning all the time now, with every game, it just, I'm more leaning over towards Ole now, because he's done so well so far. And if you said to me right now, okay, you need to pick either Ole or Pochettino, I probably would pick Ole, given the state of affairs right now.
I thought you were Pochettino's agent, given how much you were a proponent of him. Wow.
I was, but I wasn't expecting 7 wins in a row. I wasn't expecting this sort of football. I wasn't expecting Ole ball. It's like I'm having a party every single week.
We're finally looking forward to games. Mm. I think we spoke about this a little bit earlier. We cannot highlight and stress the importance of... I mean, Ollie's brought this podcast back. He's resurrected it from the dead.
I don't know. I guess we can look back at Di Matteo at Chelsea as well. Yeah. I don't think they hired him. He won the Champions League and then they kind of got rid of him. So, you know, it's one of those things, and it's just, even if he wins something, do people take him serious enough? Mm. He's not got enough experience as well. So
I'm going to just come in smoothly here and sort of say, I agree with you. You know, if it was any other manager and if he, you know, was just winning those games and you asked me the same question, do you think that this guy is the right manager for the job? Should he be considered on a permanent basis? I wouldn't just look at it as that one factor of, yeah, he's won X number of games. That would still play a part. I mean, if any interim manager came in and won 7 games on the trot, you have to potentially consider him. But as I said, he's bringing in that, as you said, that Manchester United DNA back, you know, that he understands the club. He understands the brand of football that the fans expect. He's been there. He's done it. He's part of the fabric of United, you know, the history. So I think there's a lot more to this story.
Would you say, for example, we got Mark Hughes, right? And he won 7 games. No one would consider him. I think obviously everyone loves Ollie, right? Because of what he did. And he's such a likable character. Just, I mean, he knows how to behave in the press. He knows to say the right things as well. So, you know, like I said, if someone like Mark Hughes won 7 or 8 or 10 games, people still wouldn't consider him. Even though he's actually got Premier League experience, albeit not great, but you know, it's just one of those things. I think his personality also makes him a more likable character.
I think you got a point. I didn't even think about it from that perspective. You're right. You have got a point. I think same with sort of a Giggs type character. If Giggs did the same that Ollie's doing, would be sitting up and thinking, well, hold on a minute. I think he might be a contender.
Mm. Yeah, I think the dilemma right now is if we do stick with Ollie, that means no Pochettino potentially for a very long time, because I think now is the only chance, real chance, to get Pochettino in the summer before he maybe gets taken by any other big club, you know, someone like a Real Madrid. I do think he's gettable this summer, and if we don't get him this summer, then we may have to wait for a very long time. And if it does turn out to be another Di Matteo episode and it just goes all tits up for Ole next season, and then we're screwed and we're back to square one again,
and Pochettino won't be available.
It's a big risk.
You could go into the next season and then lose the first 5 games, right? Or, you know, 5 out of 10. Everyone's going to be like, well, we should have not taken him on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, football fans are very fickle as well. They turn like month on month, you know, it's just one of those things. So it's a risk, but could work. You never know.
Yeah, let's just give him more games. I think the Champions League is a big test. PSG, it'll be nice to see how he approaches that game. And how he approaches the Champions League. And of course, we've got a massive February. We've got Liverpool. We've got City, I believe. We've got Arsenal in the cup this Friday. That's a huge game. If we win that one, mate, I'm Ole. I'm in Ole in.
You'll be singing Ole at the wheel.
Yes, we've got some huge games coming up in February. I think that's going to be the real big test for Ole. And if we come out of that unscathed, let's see.
Just to throw another spanner in the works, if you look at the big game, Tottenham versus Manchester United, at the last couple of fixtures that we had, that was billed as the real big one, the battle of the next Manchester United manager, apparently. Some quarters of the press will have you believe. Obviously, Ollie came out on top with that 1-0 victory with Rashford picking up that goal. But if you look at it from a managerial, tactical astuteness perspective, Pochettino was all over, you know, miles, head and shoulders in front of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, the display that Tottenham put on there, I think Pochettino described it as probably his best performance during his tenure at Tottenham. It's a fantastic, blistering performance. The only thing that stopped him was bloody David De Gea pulling the shutters down on a Sunday.
Yeah.
That's how good he was. So, you know, we do talk about Ole. Is he a contender for the permanent job? If we do look at brass tacks, Pochettino, in terms of experience and tactical astuteness, I have to say he's probably head and shoulders above Ollie. Ollie's young in his managerial career just yet.
That's exactly it. Like any other day, it could have been a 5-2 to Spurs. But I think Darren Fletcher pulled he did a good analysis on how Ole won the first half and then Poch won the second half.
Yeah.
Just because of the way Ole kind of isolated the wing backs, he knew that you know Danny Rose and Ben Davis they play high up. Hence why he was trying to exploit the wide areas. And it worked in the first half. And then, you know, like any game, not just Spurs, it's just one of those things. As soon as you're 1-0 up and you're kind of defending it, you're going to invite that pressure onto you. So, you know, we were lucky, I guess, more than anything else. But
it was also a little bit of a game of chess as well. Pochettino came out second half and changed things to counter what Ole had done to counter him. So it was,
Ole did come out and say that, United couldn't adjust to the changes made by Pochettino. So we did get a bit lucky.
I guess that is a symbolic or a sign of his kind of lack of experience as a manager to be able to counter that. And his naivety, I guess, as a manager. He's certainly done a good job anyway. Let's not bash too much. Okay, moving on. Little bit of a curveball with this point of discussion, but there's been a lot in the press and in the media recently singing praises of Rashford. Sometimes I think that the English media gets a little bit carried away, but let's have a look. Let's focus on this discussion more from a United perspective. So Lukaku was approximately 75 million, I believe, and is arguably being kept out of the squad by Marcus Rashford, who's on a searing bit of form at the moment. I think he's got 5 goals under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment. So does this example, does it prove that there's plenty of talent within club youth ranks, not just at Manchester United, but potentially elsewhere, that if they were given the chance, they could potentially be world beaters?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you look back a few games ago as well, just from a Man United perspective as well. Everyone on Twitter is banging on about Mason Greenwood, Chong, even I think it's Garner, but he's not really played. Who's the other guy? Angel Gomez.
Yeah.
So I think you know Rashford's played what 150 games at the age of 21. I think they did a comparison with what Ronaldo did at the time, and I think Rashford scored more goals. But you can see the difference in Rashford, especially, you know, just his calmness in front of goal. We used to talk about it last year as well. In front of goal, he tried to lob the keeper and it'd go wide, or you know he'd hit the keeper. Now you can just see a little bit of calmness in his play as well, and you know the finish over the weekend as well. You can see it. You know, he kind of chopped the man and then he just buried it top corner. I don't think.
Apparently, he's been having finishing classes with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think Rashford or Ole's come out and said that, you know, he's asked him to be a lot more calmer in front of goal. And it helps, man. You know, when you have a super sub like Ole, and the way he finished back then, it helps, of course. You know, can you imagine Mourinho trying to tell Rashford how to finish? it's just one of those things. But yeah, like I said, we've got plenty of talent coming through. I'd like us to give us, you know, more opportunities. And I think it's a bit of a shame with the FA Cup facing Arsenal. I think we're going to play a strong squad, but you know, if we had someone like, I don't know, Accrington, Stanley, it would have been good to see, you know, the more Mason Greenwood, you know, used, or Angel Gomez. But if you look from other clubs as well, like Chelsea, Hudson-Odoi, he's been in the media a lot in terms of his talent, and you know Bayern Munich won him, and there's a reason for that. You can see the talent, but I guess they're just going to loan him to probably Vitesse or someone. You know, I don't know, but yeah, I'd like to see more youth, and I think it's just a United tradition. I think they've gone, I can't remember how many games or how many years where they've named a young, you know, a youth academy product on the bench consecutively. So
I think it's in the match day squad.
In the match day squad, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in the match day squad. So kind of whether it's on the pitch or on the bench, absolutely. I think it's some crazy stat, 11 years, maybe longer.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not too sure. One for our statisticians to pull out from the archives. Mudge, what about yourself? Do you think, if talent, young talent is given a chance, you know, arguably under Jose and potentially under previous managers before then, if we were in the, we would probably do the same thing if we were in their shoes. You pick that name, that 75 million pound star, your Pogbas, your Lukakus, you pick those big names, just because you think, you know, given how much they're worth and their reputation, that they will perform for you. Do you think that no, actually, it is a matter of, you know, given the rhyme, we should be trying out younger players, giving them that platform, that opportunity, and giving them the opportunity to thrive. Do you think there's room for that? Or is it just a case of maybe it's not worth developing that talent? You need instant success. You've got to buy those big stars, put them into the matchday squad and let them perform.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, really. The way football is now, it's easier to go and buy someone, given all the money that's available now. But I think when it comes to youth football, I think nothing's changed over the years for all clubs. You know, if youth is good enough, it's there. People tend to forget that. They think top players are falling off the trees in the academies. They're not. And when a decent one does come through, he does get a chance at any club. And I think what it really comes down to is when that player does get given a chance, he has to step up and make the mark. Otherwise, he's gone. You know, there's not enough time now. But, you know, back in the day, there wasn't much money involved. You had to do with what you got. But now, you know, if a player gets two games, he has to shine in those two games. Otherwise, you know, sorry, mate, you're going to have to go out on loan or you're not good enough. And let's look at Rashford, for example. He came in his first 3-4 games and he was sensational. So they saw their talent there and they thought, you know what, he can take the size of this club, he can play, he can score, let's keep going. So United right now, we have, like Mitch said, we've got loads of players on the fringe right now, like Chong and Gomez, albeit they're still very fragile. They need to grow a lot, they're very small, just the way it is. Greenwood as well looks very weak at the moment, but I'd love to see them. Like Nate said, you know, if we do have a game against a lower league opposition when we beat Arsenal Friday in the next round, it'd be nice to see them feature. But, you know, if they're good enough, they will play. They 100% they'll get a chance.
I'm going to challenge that. I'm even going to challenge that because I agree with you to a certain extent. But this whole thing of, you know, if they're good enough, they'll be given a chance. I don't think that they are. Why? Why do I say that? Even if they are given a chance, it's not under the right conditions. Because we started this discussion with this whole Rashford versus Lukaku thing, I'll kind of continue to use that example. I think under Jose Mourinho, whenever Rashford is brought on, he was seen as a kind of, you know, young talent, come up and coming, give him a few minutes, give him some games. He was getting some serious amount of game time, no doubt about that. But in terms of being in favour, if Lukaku was fit and available, I felt as if Jose was going to pick him, no doubt about it. And you can even see it, as you guys described, within Rashford's style of play. Whenever he came on, it was almost as if he was being, you know, Jose was whispering into his ear, right, here's your minutes, show me what you can do. If you're not good enough, I'm going to drop you for someone else. Given the wealth of talent that United have got in the squad, you know, you've got your Matters, you've got Lingards and all the rest of it. It was almost as if Rashford, every time he stepped on that pitch, it was like he was playing for the next game. Whereas now, Ole seems to have given him a little bit of confidence to say to him, look, just relax. You'll get plenty of game time. Don't worry about it. Just calm down and just play your football. And he seemed to be thriving under that environment. I mean, his record now, his form speaks for itself.
You've got to remember with Rashford as well, I think he was, I mean, people spoke about him in the youth setup and whatnot, but I think Van Gaal only really brought him in because we were struggling for strikers. Didn't someone pull out in the warm-up?
I said that. So, yeah, I said that, I think, last episode. But Mudge was hesitant to... Well, he's quick to shut that down.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't agree with that.
I might have overplayed it a little bit, but the point that I was trying to make was we were short of options in terms of players who were fit, and that's why Louis van Gaal bought it. I might have said it in a way that he didn't even know his name or something like those lines, but the point still stands. You know, he was short of options, of course the logical thing to do there is dip into the youth talent and pick those players. So I still think managers these days have a propensity to pick those big name stars. We've seen it for years with the England team. Named players being picked over talent, being picked over a style of play. You know, pick those big names and let them get on with it. It just doesn't work.
I was just going to say, you see it at Chelsea as well. Look at Hudson-Odoi, right, for example. Like, people speak of his talent massively. He's got interest from Bayern Munich, right? I think they've bid it three times. He didn't play against Arsenal. Was he even in the squad? You know, even the pressure that the media are giving to the coaches, they won't play them because if they feel they're not ready, they're not ready. As much as you might think they're ready, you don't see what's behind closed doors, right? In terms of their physicality, you know, just in general, you know, the whole mindset of playing in big games, you just don't know. You don't want to put someone in the limelight and then, you know, within a season, they kind of disappear and go on loan and that's it. It's a difficult one, you know, when you've
got... Good counterpoint, yeah.
When you've got a big star, it's difficult not to play him. It's difficult.
Yeah, I think with Rashford right now, as we tend to forget, he's been in the squad for a very long time now. Although he is still very young, he's played 150 games now. So let's stop talking about him still being that young player from the academy. He's full-time part of the squad now. And if he doesn't perform now, then that's on him. You know, he's been around the culture for long enough. He's played in plenty of games. And if he's not performing right now, then he's not good enough. And it's great to see that he is.
No, you're right. It's a good point around Rashford and how we probably shouldn't consider him as a young, up-and-coming talent. He's had plenty of chances. You look at other parts of the squad, then the likes of Dalot, etc., Pereira, also in pretty much every single position, there is a up-and-coming, exuberant, youthful individual looking to take over that kind of position. And I would continue to argue that under Jose, they potentially weren't given those opportunities. They were once in a while. Maybe it was in the back of Jose's mind to ensure that he fits in with this whole Manchester United are all about developing youth and I've got to fit in with that. Because he was getting some flack from the media around that. And then he had to pull out a whole soliloquy and a monologue around how he is all about talent and the types of players that he's brought up at his previous clubs from the youth ranks. So I think under Ole, we're starting to see more and more trust being put on the shoulders of young talent. It's good to see.
Yeah, I think just one more interesting stat. At the same age that Marcus Rashford is right now, he's 21. He's played 150 games, 41 goals. Harry Kane had only played one Premier League game. There's your stat.
Oof. Okay, well, you've thrown my kind of point out of the window, really. So what you're saying with that stat could be interpreted to mean that, you know, the players don't necessarily need the opportunities. They can flourish later on. It's a good counterpoint again.
Summer late bloomers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy
Drogba.
Being another
great example.
Example that is often brought out.
Didier Drogba,
Yeah. Well, when he first started for Chelsea, he was atrocious. Even the Chelsea fans, I remember, they were taking the piss out of him. But hey ho. Okay, let's move on. There were some players who we knew under the right manager would absolutely thrive. You know, we talk about your Pogbas, your Martials, your Rashfords. Pogba's got 5 goals under Ole. I think Rashford's got the same. What about the hidden gems? Who's been a surprise star performer under this new regime? Let's go out to Munch first.
I think Victor Lindelof has been our player of the season. So if the season would end right now, I'd pick Lindelof because not only has he been great under Ole, he was brilliant under Jose as well. His 2 performances against Juventus, home and away, he was absolutely outstanding. And he's continued that under Ole as well. And it's great to see him now coming out further with the ball. And we're getting to see how good he is with the ball at his feet. And he played a really good ball to Martial on the weekend, wasn't it? It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see him. I just love to see Jones out of the team and us get a proper centre-back to partner him. And we'll see the real best of him. But yeah, he's been fantastic. I think Herrera's played really, really well.
You've stolen mine. You can only have one. You got to keep to one. You got to pick one.
Okay. You've taken mine as well.
Lindelof for me. I'm not going to talk about the top players we've got. They should be playing week in, week out.
Exactly.
Top football, you know, the likes of Pogba's and Martial's.
But Lindelof, this is your hidden gem. This has got to be your hidden gem. So Lindelof is a good shout.
Lindelof's my.
The only thing I would challenge you on, the only thing I feel as if we must both agree on is at the start he did have quite a shaky start. He looked like in many of the games like he's lost his bearings, his coordinates, looked a little bit
mate,
scrawny.
When you got Phil Jones next to you, anyone would lose their bearings.
I think you're right. He's come on. I wouldn't go so far as saying he's my hidden gem. However, I think he's certainly in the shortlist. Let's go to you, Mitt. What do you reckon?
Nemanja Matic.
Oh,
okay.
No, I was going to say Ashley Young played well. He's been playing well, but then
yeah, he's been quality.
He's been decent defensively, attacking not so much. But I'd go Matic, not because he's a hidden gem, because he played well in Jose's first season. I think he was playing really well. But you can, I mean, not just him, but I think the team helps him because there's so much more options going forward. And you know, Matic has always had a great pass on him anyway. And you can see it now. Like he was, earlier this season, he was absolutely shocking. Like he would take too much time on the ball. He'd go backwards. He'd go sideways. And the problem is when you're slow as much as you are with Matic, you know, you kind of, the focus is on you as well. You need to kind of move the ball as quickly as possible. But you see it now. It makes so much difference to have someone that actually plays forward. And they said that about Herrera as well. You know, people have been calling Herrera a crab. He's got a great through ball. And you see it against, I think it was against Chelsea when we won 2-0. And he played a ball with a lot of spin. And then
wait, hold on. They call him a crab.
I'm talking about rival fans on Twitter.
Yeah. What? So, because he's always sideways.
Yeah, he's always been playing sideways and he doesn't take risks. But, I think that's across a majority of players, you know, Matic, Herrera. They're all playing forward and it helps massively.
Yeah, so you're going with Matic?
I don't think he's really brought out a gem that wasn't playing under Mourinho. It's more so that the players that he's got at the moment. It's not like as if like Fred, who wasn't playing as much before, is now become incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, it's one of those players that Mourinho was still playing, like Matic, like Herrera here and then big games, and Rashford. I would have gone Rashford, but Rashford's always been.
He's not really a hidden gem. Yeah, we've always known he's, as I said, he's got that in his locker. As I said, under the right manager, your Pogbas, your Rashfords, your Martials, they're not really hidden gems. Lindelof, great shout, not one that, you know, many fans speak about. Kind of he just, at the moment, he seems to be just getting on with his work. Matic, I can see where you're coming from. The only bone of contention I would have is, for me, he's still losing the ball a lot more often than I'd like.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I would have loved to say Pereira, but it just hasn't happened. And
no.
I think I've come to a point and probably a realisation now that he's probably best if we do sell him, because we've sent him out alone twice or three times now, and it's not really been to big clubs either. It's been like, I think he went to Granada and somewhere else, Valencia.
Valencia, yeah.
And, you know, he's come back and he's showed little signs, but I don't think it's enough. And, you know, he's at an age now where if he can't make it under a new manager, what hope is he going to make under Pochettino, for example? I can't see him replacing Matic either.
This smoothly segues into my own kind of pick as our hidden gem. Just before I mentioned that, on the whole Matic equation, I think his kind of poor performances, I know we're speaking about the new regime, but just to touch upon his kind of poor performances under Jose Mourinho, I think he had an injury, came back from that, and he looked as if he'd been rushed too quickly. His fitness maybe wasn't quite there. Just that match fitness wasn't there. For me, it doesn't seem as if he's fully really recovered from that. And then he's played a whole host of games. That I think maybe that fatigue has added to his lack of performance. Under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there has been, I believe, a positive improvement. And what is that? He's playing more forward passes. He's trying to play those penetrative passes. For me right now, he still loses the ball too often, but I can see the positivity. At least he's trying to play it forward. So for me, hidden gem, I'm going to call out Ander Herrera. I think under Jose Mourinho, he's, you know, played as kind of, I need somebody to put Hazard in their pocket. Right, I'm going to get him to do a job. But now he's starting to become a bit more of an expansive player. He's shown not only the defensive side to his game, but now he's getting forward much more as well. Getting involved in play, mopping up. He's become almost that kind of box-to-box midfield player that we've been looking for. He really puts himself about a bit. He's even added a goal to his repertoire as well. Bit more of an expansive player, and I would argue he's keeping Ander Pereira out in the squad. For me, I'd play Ander Herrera because he's been, if I was Oli starting off, I'd play him because he's been in the squad for quite a long time. Give him his performances. If he's not performing, right, son, ship him off. Get Pereira and see if he can fulfil the job. If he can't, he'd get shipped out as well. But for me, star performer, I've been watching the games quite closely for the last couple of weeks. And for me, Ander's been shining out really has as an example of a real hidden gem. Don't think he gets the plaudits.
I think he never has really got any recognition. Certainly not from non-United fans. You know, he's never really spoken about. I think only United fans have really seen what he can do on the pitch as well. And I think, you know, the whole passionate side to it. And you know, people have been talking about future captain because Valencia can't speak a lick of English after like 15 years. I don't know how someone can motivate a team without speaking the actual language, but...
Show them his biceps and get pumped up like he does, don't he? Give him that angry kind of face and get anybody pumped up just for the fear of getting beaten up if you don't perform.
You can't be a captain and be shit. Do you know what I mean? You can't be twatting it to the first man and then complain when someone can't play a pass. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those.
Nobody's gonna argue.
But you know, I love him. I love him. I mean, when I saw that video last year, I don't know whether he meant it or not, and he spat on the Man City badge as he was walking off at full time.
I love that.
He's such a bastard, isn't he? And I love his tactical fouls and stuff. He don't give a shit. He'll pull you, you know, when
the same trick. Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Yeah. Proper shithousery.
All right, then, boys. I think that's almost the end. But before we go, quick fire, right? I'm just going to chuck it in there. Lukaku or Rashford? Mitt.
Rashford.
Mudge?
I'm going where the form is, so Rashford.
I'm going with Rashford as well. Where do you think we finish when Jose left, Mitt?
I would have said sixth, where we are at the moment.
Okay.
Seventh.
Mudge? Seventh? You said seventh?
Seventh.
I was thinking about six-ish. Where do you think we'll finish now, Mitt?
I think we'll just sneak it. I think we'll finish fourth. Don't think we'll quite catch Tottenham, but yeah.
Okay. Mudge?
Yeah, fourth.
Fourth, yeah, I think fourth as well. But Mudge, I almost thought you were going to say third then. I was going to exclaim declarations of love and affinity towards you just for giving me that kind of hope.
I'm not that easy.
you never know. Dele Alli's just come out and he's out for 6 weeks. They got a lucky win against Fulham.
Yeah.
You never know. Although they've got three home games coming up, so.
Well, with Kane injured, I thought the game, their last fixture, they would have struggled somewhat, and it seemed as if they did, and somehow they dug it out.
They did. Yeah. I watched the game. They did struggle massively. You could see, like, I watched it with a mate, and I said, like, as soon as the ball went in, and Llorente was on the end of it, and you know how good Harry Kane is in terms of shielding, first touch, shift. Like, Llorente, you could not do it. I kept saying, I was like, Harry Kane would have scored that. Harry Kane would have scored that.
Mm.
It's a massive loss for them, and hopefully, you know, some teams can get a result out of them. Because they're only 7 points, which is not a lot. But, you know, like Mudge mentioned, we've got a very difficult February. And squad rotation is going to matter massively.
Yeah.
Pereira, yes.
Yeah, Pereira, Fred, Sanchez, your man, Fleming. Mudge. You know, it's been a year a year today that he actually signed.
Oh, I know, mate. I know. I can't wait to see his debut.
Well, you better bloody make it on Friday and celebrate in front of Arsenal. But.
Wow.
On that note, gentlemen, so closing statements. Can Ole Gunnar Solskjaer win 7 league games in a row, making it the best start to a new manager in the Premier League? United have closed the gap to fourth to just 3 points. Can they keep up the chase? Was the form just temporary, and will it all come crashing down? Find out in the next episode.